Joshua chapter 2 in your Bible, all right? Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. We're going to begin reading there right at verse 1. Read down most of the chapter. And I want you to just follow along with us. And I want to preach to you tonight on the subject, if Rahab can get right. Okay? If Rahab can get right. So you there, Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible said, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites, that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And then she let them down by cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. It is in this chapter that we meet Rahab. And notice, the Bible is very plain, it is Rahab the harlot, okay? She's mentioned twice in the New Testament, and both times it is in connection. She is identified as being a harlot in the New Testament. Now, in our day, I'm really not sure a lot of people would consider that much of a bad thing, but in years gone by it was, and by the way, it still is, all right? But we've just become, as a nation and as a people, we've become so accepting of sin that nothing is wrong anymore, that everything is just simply a different lifestyle choice, you know. But hey, it's still wrong. To be known as a harlot was to be ostracized by anyone in those days who was decent. Now, that might be the situation today. There's not very many decent people left. Overall, which is a shame, all right? But I don't want us tonight to just look at Rahab for a little bit. If Rahab could get right, there's no reason you and I or anybody else cannot be right with God. If she could get right. Now, just think with me a little bit, all right, about Rahab. Hey, okay, she was a harlot, all right? But she had no Bible to read. Rahab had no Bible to read. She lived in the midst of an idolatrous and heathen people. Boy, I mean, that is putting it mildly. The Canaanite religion of that day was unspeakably vile. It was just beyond belief. It was vileness of every kind was elevated to an act of worship. And if you know, that vileness was considered to be worshiping their Canaanite god, all right? Some of their so-called worship, and I use that term very loosely, involved the use of temple prostitutes. It was a vile thing, all right? As A writer said, John Phillips, he said this, as a harlot, she lived in sin, she lived for sin, and she lived by sin. That was what she did. Could I just say, man, the deck was stacked against her. It was. But something happened. Something happened to Rahab that produced a great change to her. Changed her life, brought life to her. Gave her a way of escape. Something happened. You said, well, what happened? Well, look at it. Let's just look what the Bible said here in these verses we read. Look with me, first of all, in verse 10. Notice the Bible said, for we have heard. We have heard. Listen, she heard what God had done. She had heard what God had done. She had no Bible. No, but their people were people. And people do what people always have done, they talk. When something happens, they talk about it. When something great happens, they really talk about it. It gets passed along. Notice what it said. She said, we have heard. In verse 10, she said, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. Hey, do you realize we're talking about something that happened 40 more years before? This is something that had happened at least 40 years before this time. And that was the first thing she mentioned, said, we heard this. We heard what God had done, all right? We heard about it, all right? Word gets around. Word gets around. Folks remember what they want to remember. I'm convinced of that. We remember what we want to remember. If you want to remember it, you'll remember it, okay? You may have to focus in. Now you say, preacher, I'm getting old, mind slipping. I understand all of those things. And I do. But the truth is, we remember what we want to remember, what gets right there and we want to hang on to. Not only had they heard about what God had done getting them out of Egypt, but she said, we've also heard how what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites. Hey, these two kings that are mentioned here, they weren't just run-of-the-mill guys. They were powerful fellows, strong military leaders, Og and Sihon, yet they had been destroyed by the Israelites. Destroyed by the Israelites. But notice, she rightly attributed what had happened to those fellows to the work of God. Notice what it says there in verse 10, all right? He said, we have heard, all right, when you came out what ye did unto the two kings, of whom ye utterly destroyed, all right? And she understood this is God. It's God's doing. What she heard made an impact on her. It made an impact on her. I'm convinced a lot of people come to church and don't hear much. They don't hear much. Now, they sit in the auditorium. They look at the preacher. They even sit in a Sunday school class and look at the teacher. But they don't really hear. They don't really hear. We live in a time where a lot of people look, but they're not listening. They don't listen. Kids in school, kids don't listen. Man, you have to work every way you can. Hey, are you paying attention? Look right here. Look right here. Listen up now. Hey, I want you with me here. Preachers have to do the same kind of thing today. They do everything. Why? Because we're here, but we're not listening. Our mind's floating around somewhere else. We're thinking about what's going to happen here or there. You're already sitting there. If you're not careful, you're planning your week out and what's coming and what you got to look forward to or what you're dreading, or maybe you're looking forward to getting something to eat after church. Let me know where you're going. I might go with you, all right? But hey, what she heard made an impact. It wasn't just an exciting story. You with me? I'm a believer in teaching the Bible stories. When I was a kid in Sunday school, I grew up on the Bible stories. And I'm glad I did. But I realized at a very young age, these aren't just stories. These aren't just stories. This is what God's doing. This is the doing of God, all right? She said, boy, we've heard of the might and the power of God. She said, we've heard it, all right? We heard about all of that. Notice there, she said in verse 9, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us. Hey, what she heard scared the fire out of them. What they heard just scared them, all right? She knew it was that, and it caused that terror to fall upon Rahab and her fellow countrymen. But man, we live in a day where people so much don't seem to be moved much by the power and the might of a mighty God, all right, and a holy God. We live in a day where I'm afraid so many people today slide that aside as if it's not a big deal, or, hey, that's old stuff, and maybe that's even Old Testament stuff, and it doesn't do that anymore. Won't you know the same God that did those things in Old Testament, he's the same God we worship today, all right? He still stands for the same thing. He's still able and willing to do great things, and it's a good thing if we hear about it, but don't just hear it and catch it as a story. Think about it, all right? Hang on to it. Hey, wait a minute. She not only had heard what God had done, she knew who God was. She knew who God was. Maybe I should say it this way. She knew who the God was. Look at verse 11. He said, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you." And notice, she didn't quit with that. She said, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Man, I want to tell you, that is a marvelous confession of faith that she made toward God. I believe it reveals the quality of her faith because of what she confessed and what she said. Hey, what you think of God reveals the quality of your faith. What you think of God reveals the quality of your faith. He is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So many people in our day have a very dim idea, if they've got any idea, of really who God is. It is not the God of the Bible. Not the God of the Bible. Brother Blanton and I were out Thursday night. We were knocking doors down here in the apartment complex. And main thing we got was exercise. Up and down the stairs, you know, people wouldn't answer the door. And if they were there, they just weren't doing it. I don't know if they looked and saw me or they saw him or if it was both of us, all right? But, I mean, just nobody'd open the door hardly. And one lady did, and we tried to talk with her a little bit. Tried to talk to her about her soul, and well, I'm in good shape because really, basically, she didn't say it in these words, but this is what she was saying. I'm in good shape because I've done everything my church told me to do. Well, that's simply they've got a very dim idea who God is. Who God is, all right? He's the God of heaven and earth. He's the God of the universe. Hey, he's the God that created the world and everything that's in it, all right? That's the God we're talking about. He is the holy God. He is the God of all power. He's the God who's in control, all right? He's not a bearded fellow that's sitting up there with unconcern and pretty much saying, you know, like a very tolerant parent and letting the kids run around and do whatever they want, and it's okay. No, he's not. He's a God that holds to holiness. He's a God that holds people accountable, all right? Too many in our day are worshiping an entirely different God from the God in the Bible. You said, "Preacher, they say they're worshiping the God of the Bible." I know that. But if you really talk to people, you find out the God they're worshiping is a God that they've manufactured according to what they think God should be. It's my view of who God is. And it is not a biblical view, but it's the one I've come up with. It's the one that I've developed, and it's the one that I've put together, and I've decided I believe this is what God is like and should be like, and so that's it as far as I'm concerned. Not Rahab. Not Rahab. She got it right. You talk about getting it right. You look there when she said, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above, all right, and in earth beneath." She said, "He's God. He's God." Now, wait a minute. Remember what I said to him when we started. That's not the God she knew from her life. The God she knew from her life was a Canaanite God, a vile being, and totally different from the God of the Bible. That God she knew was not really God. She knew, hey, that God doesn't do what your God does. That God's not capable of doing what your God's doing. She realized who God was. She realized it. Not only that, she exercised her faith. Now, don't lose your place here in Joshua. Hold your hand there, but I want you to turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will. I want you to notice what the Bible says here about Rahab, all right? Now, if you're familiar with your Bible and you've been around a while, you know Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter of faith. And boy, over and over and over and over again, you see the Bible says by faith, by faith, by faith. In verse 20, it's by faith, Isaac. In verse 21, it's by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, all right? And boy, when you read all those names, you think of all the mighty people, people of great renown in the Word of God, in the plan of God. If you go back earlier in the book, it talks about in verse 4, by faith, Abel. In verse 5, by faith, Enoch, all right? Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. You get the idea? It's all these great spiritual giants. But don't you look at verse 31. Verse 31 says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Hey, I want you to see this. Rahab exercised faith. She exercised faith. You said, what kind of faith was it? Back in Joshua chapter 2, look at verse 9. She said these two words, I know, I know. She had a no-so kind of faith. She had a no-so kind of faith. As Johnny Flanagan said in a song years ago, it wasn't a think-so, maybe-so, or trying-to-be kind of thing, all right? It was a no-so. It was a no-so kind of faith. She boldly proclaimed, I know. She didn't just say there, notice, she said we heard in verse 10, but before verse 10 in verse 9, she says, I know. I know that the Lord hath given you this land. It's a no-so faith. What she had and what she knew was it was in relationship to God, she knew it. She held on to it. She wasn't doubting it. She wasn't questioning it, all right? Her faith was in contrast to those there in Hebrews 11:31, it was in contrast to those who believed not. Her faith was a believing kind of faith. Hey, believing makes all the difference. Believing makes all the difference. So what's the difference between you and that? You as a saved sinner and that lost sinner? The difference is you believed. You believed, you've trusted, all right? You've called upon the Lord, but you believed. You believe. A lot of people just don't believe. Some will say, well, I don't believe it can be that simple. Some will say, well, I just don't believe that. Brother Chester, walking out today, he said, I forgot to ask you to pray for a fella that he said he used to go to church, but now he said he doesn't believe there's a God. Hey, that's the problem. We don't believe. We don't believe. We don't believe God. Thank goodness Rahab had the kind of faith. She exercised that kind of faith. And because she believed, she was willing to exercise her faith and protect those spies because she believed. What would cause her to do that? You put yourself in her position. Put yourself in her position in Jericho. Hey, listen, she had lived there, as far as we know, all of her life. She was brought up in that whole situation, all right? All of it. There was nothing about her life to draw attention to her and say she is an outstanding individual of great intellect. Nothing about her. Nothing about her. Nothing there. But here is this woman. Here is this woman that had enough faith to believe that it was God that she had heard about was the real God, and he had done what he had done. He had done what no other God she had ever heard of could ever do. And she had enough faith when those spies came to her and the people of the land came and said, hey, there was two guys that came in here, two strangers, And they've been sent to spy out the land. We want you to turn them over to us. Send them out. Now, what did she do? She didn't do that. What in the world motivated her to do that, to go against, in a sense, all of her countrymen, all of her kinspeople, okay? All the people that she knew, and to go against them, to go against her king, if you will, of her land, and say, no, hey, listen, they did come by, but I don't know where they went, all right? They did come by. What possessed her to go up, take them men up onto her roof, and the flags laid out there, said, you guys get up there, we'll cover you up. They won't be able to find you. You'll be safe. What possessed her to do that? Her faith. Her faith in the God that she said, I know. I know. It's a believing kind of faith. What a faith she had. James chapter 2, would you? Go back to James chapter 2. This is the other place she's mentioned in the New Testament, all right? I just want you to look at this just for a moment. James chapter 2, drop down there if you will and take a look at verse 25. James chapter 2, verse 25. I was looking at James chapter 1 thinking, well, that's got nothing to do with Rahab. Verse 25. Chapter 2. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. Notice the next verse, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I want to say it this way. I believe Rahab worked out her faith. I believe Ahab did it. She displayed. You said, what do you mean she worked out? She displayed it. How did she display it? In the way she treated those two spies. In the way she treated those two spies. Go back with me now to Joshua. I don't want to lose you. I don't want to go too fast and don't want you to miss it. And we don't want you to say, well, hey, no. But I want you to see in verse 9. Verse 9, she said to the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Notice, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Verse 11. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. What things? Well, when you came out of Egypt, God brought you out. How you defeated those two Amorite kings. We know about them. We knew their strength. But you defeated, you utterly destroyed them. He said, as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Now, verse 12, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a troth token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brother and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, I want you to think about it. Remember what happened in verse 10 to Og and Sihon. He said, ye utterly destroyed them. He said, we know that's what happened. And why did she think for a moment? I believe with all my heart she figured that's what you're going to do to Jericho. You're going to utterly destroy this city and everything and everybody that's in here. So I want to talk to you, and I want to make a deal with you, if you will. Said, I want you to deliver our lives from death. My father's house. In other words, me and my family. I want you to, to do that. She displayed her faith in trusting those two spies to remember her and do as they promised. Now, those two spies were risking their own life, okay? They're in that land. They know they've been found out. They know that there are people that already know we're in this city to spy out this land. They're after us. They would like to have us. Hey, if they were the average run-of-the-mill person, they'd say, we'd tell you anything to get us out of here alive. But don't you notice, this woman trusted those two men. Trusted those two men. She put her confidence in them. She displayed that faith. And trust in those two spies to remember her and do as they promised. She put her trust into them. She put her faith on display. We can go a little further, all right? You drop down there, all right, to verse 21. And she said according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. She put her faith in them. They said, you tie that scarlet line, display it. And the Bible tells us her house was on the wall, and so it's there and is there for everybody to see it. Anybody coming around would see it and know that's what it was. She put her faith in those two fellows, and she put her faith when she hung that line there in that window. She's saying that it's a matter of faith. She believed. She believed if I'll put that on display, you fellows will do what you say. Can I just say this? Rahab got it right when she put her faith to work. When she put her faith to work, she trusted them. She believed them. God help us learn to do the same thing. God help us just learn to do the same thing. Just simple thing. Just a simple little thing. God asked us to do some things. And he said, there's so many conditional promises in the Bible where the Lord says, if you do this, I'll do this. You'll do this, I'll do this. I'll be honest, the one I like to use, and I use it regularly and faithfully. If you've been around, you know what's coming. He said, if you'll give, I'll give to you. If you'll give, I'll give to you. But I'll tell you what I found. I found so many Christians won't do that. So many professing Christians don't trust God. They don't trust God as much as Rahab did. Rahab put her life on the line, okay? And you can look at it that way any you want to. She put it on that red line, all right? She said, we're trusting that to save our life. We're putting it out there. Our faith ought to be such that we don't mind displaying it. It ought to carry us beyond simply believing. Simply believing. You can say, well, I believe that. Okay, but do you show that you believe it? Do you show that you believe it? Is that belief on display for other people to see? Is it there? Well, preacher, I believe that. Okay, good. Who else knows it? Who else knows it? If it's just words, they don't get very far, all right? But our faith ought to produce some works that give evidence to the fact and all that we have in faith in our God. In order to show it. Remember what it said over there in James, faith without works is dead. Our works are displayed. Now, we're not saved by works. Not saying that, not preaching that, don't believe that. But our works ought to be such that they show our faith. Here's Rahab, with all the things against her, boy, 1, 2, 3, all the way down the line, she still got it right. And she got right with God. She got right with God. A person raised totally outside of the teaching and the training of God. But she got right with God. Why? She heard, she believed, and she exercised that faith. She exercised that faith. Listen, do you realize that's all God asks of us? That's what God asks of us. God's not up there asking us to do one hard thing after another. No, he just simply says, I want you to hear what I've said. And here it is in the Word of God. I want you to hear it. I want you to believe it. And then I want you to do it. Do it. Just produce that. Now, I want to say this to you. Her faith produced results. Her faith produced results. You said, what kind of results? It resulted in the saving and the life and the rescue, if you will, of herself and all of her family. All of her family. Everybody else in Jericho died. Everybody. But not her household. Not her family, all right? Every one of them. But that old harlot got it right. She got right with God. She got right with him, and God turned around and did wonderful things for her. Wonderful things for her. Folks, is that not worth it? Is that not worth it? We don't get up and preach a health and wealth gospel. There's folks that do that. Man, if you'll do everything, God will make sure you're healthy and you'll be wealthy, you know, and you'll have plenty of money. You'd think if that's the case, that crowd would never die, right? The way they preach it. Listen, that's not it. But God does promise you, hey, I'll do some amazing things for you if you'll hear me, believe me, and do what I say. Just do what I say. What wonderful things God can do if we'll just do those three things. Hear you, believe you, and obey you. Just simple things. If Rahab the harlot could get right with God with all of her disadvantages, and if God could turn around and reward her and her faith, then surely you and I have no reason not to get right with God and stay right with Him, all right? The problem is we need to quit making excuses and just simply do what God says to do. Simple little old thing. Quit making excuses. Quit going through life saying, but I can't. Or here's the reason. Or this is going on. Oh, get off it, okay? Get off. I mean, I get so tired of people telling me, well, preacher, I just couldn't get out of the bed on Sunday. Man, you've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. I'm not talking about people that are sick. I'm not talking about people that are infirm. I'm talking about people that are young, healthy. I just couldn't get up. No, you just didn't get up, all right? And the sad thing is, I hear it from people that profess to be saved. Hey, we make excuses. Well, I'm just not the most qualified. Tell me who is. You tell me who is the most qualified. If God wants you to do something and He tells you to do it, you're qualified. And He'll enable you. He'll enable you. So, preacher, what I need to do, hear Him, believe Him, and obey. Rahab the harlot. That's what she did. She said, man, we've heard. We've heard about what you did. And she said, I know your God is God. I know it. I believe Him. And I believe what you said. I'll trust you. If you tell me you'll preserve me, I'll trust you. Listen, we ought to trust God just that much. We read the Bible, though. I'm afraid so many people, they read the Bible and goes, that's unbelievable. No, it's not. It's believable. It's believable. Why? Because of the God that we served. He is God. He is the God of heaven above and of earth beneath, all right? His might and His power are not constrained by our limitations, okay? We think humanly. Well, quit thinking on that vein. Remember, God's God. We're not. And His ability, it's not limited. It's only limited because we don't believe Him. But if we'd just believe Him and we'd trust Him, we'd obey Him, God would turn around and do wonderful things for us and wonderful things through us. He could use us. Hey, wait a minute. If He could use the testimony of a redeemed harlot, surely, surely He can use you. Surely He can use you. That he's not restrained. You say, well, I'm not capable. And Rahab was. Rahab just believed Him. She was willing to turn around and act on that belief. That's what we have to do. You know, it's easy. We get in Sunday school class, and those little kids, we teach them the Bible. We teach them those songs. We teach them songs like Jesus Loves Me. And you know what? We expect them to believe that. He said, what do you mean, preacher? Of course we do. Well, yeah. Well, why don't we believe when he asks something a little bit more of adult level? Why don't we believe him? God's not done with us. He's got a job. He can do wonderful things for us. Hey, if Rahab can get right, you and I can get right. And if God could use her and use her testimony, God can use us. It's a matter of us hearing Him, believing Him, and obeying Him. Heavenly Father, I pray You'd help us tonight. Lord, just such a simple, simple story in the Word of God. Such a plain thing that's said to us. And Lord, just we sometimes look at things and we think, no, it doesn't apply to me. But it does. It does. God, would You just help us to hear You, to hear Your voice. As we open the Word of God and read it, that we'd hear what You say to us. But Lord, not just words, but we'd believe it. We'd know, Lord, You are God. You're the God of heaven above and earth beneath. And Lord, all we need to do, just trust you. Exercise our faith, believe you, and Lord, you can do great things for us if we'll obey. Lord, help us tonight. If those folks need to come, use altar, help them to come. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you